been on the scene for probably in her surgery there.
Yeah.
Haven't heard any updates, but just all is well, and the Lord will touch her and make it a complete job.
That's right.
And Katrina mentioned to me, sorry to hear about the news of Grandma falling, and pray the Lord will give her a quick recovery.
Amen.
Just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your blessings and thank you for your mercies. There you are in one. Though we're so undeserving and unworthy, Lord, we know that you have a part of you in us, Lord, that's represented, Lord, that's reaching out to you to give you victory and to shout out your glory and praises, Lord. And pray that that would be manifest in all our life, Lord, that you receive glory of each step that we take, Lord. And thank you for being with us this week and each one, Lord. And thank you for being with Grandma. She had a fall, Lord. I know it could have been worse. And pray that you would just give her a quick recovery, Lord, and may the devil be defeated, Lord. It won't happen again. May she look to you for her strength and give her that victory, Lord, and peace of mind. And give you thanks now. Pray that you be with us this evening, Lord, as we gather and pray for the grace and give them the freedom to move in the Spirit and to speak your words of truth, Lord, in life in this hour. And we ask these blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see what she's playing there. Amazing Grace. How sweet to sing.
I was once lost. See you.
his house.
Amen.
To magnify his name.
Thank you.
invite Brother Chris to come. Let's sing that chorus, "You Became Me."
Always standing right with his people, right in his people, proving himself, proving the hour that we're living in, proving himself to the people that are around you. And we're so thankful for that and for everything he does in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful that we are, you've let us come together again, Lord, that we've been away, Lord, some traveling and sickness, Lord, and the different things, Lord. We pray, Lord, all that's on the mend now, thanks to you, Lord. And you saw us all through, brought us all safely up and down the roads, Lord. Let us not ever fail to recognize, Lord, everything you do for us on a daily basis, Lord, always. Lord, we thank you for it. Cannot thank you enough. Pray you'll help us with the message tonight, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I used to think, sometimes a lot of times I used to stop the prayer line and not listen to the prayer line at the end if I've listened to the message a lot of times. And I quit doing that because I've found quite a few nuggets and in prayer lines as he's going through at the end there. Some really, really good nuggets. For instance, he talked about the evening light in one of the later messages. And he goes through and he sings the song. And as he comes down the mountain, he says, "And now that's faded on into the bright light." Way down in the bottom of the message. So it's all good. It's all his. And we, you know, we've come through church ages where not every action of a person was God. Not everything they believed was the truth. We come through ages like Luther, who Brother Branham said smoke his cigars and said that, I'm pretty sure he was the one said the Jews ought to all be killed and all these other things that he made a statement, knowing those things aren't true. And then the little by little, God has taken all that out so that we're not living by a part of the word anymore, but we're living by all of the word. Brother Ram said, man is always thinking about what he's done, always thinking about what he thinks he's going to do, and never seeing what he's doing right now. Right this moment. Right now, when we're sitting in this room and we're looking back and forth at each other as we're talking about this message, he's here now. He's here doing something now. And every day when you get up and you go through the day, he's there. He doesn't quit acting. He's acting all day long. God is ever present. God is ever working everything for together for good. He's always present. He's never leaving and coming back and all these other things. And he's present in his people. And he's present with the whole word. Brother Branham said that the bride is called out of systems. Called completely out of systems. There is no systems in bride. It's faith only. It's all by faith. Every bit of it. And the whole word that was sealed up since the foundation of the world. I heard Brother Glenn Dial preaching some today. Or I read a quote where he's talking about nobody knew what was on that book until today. The prophet said those words. Nobody knew what was on that book. Nobody knew the names was on that book. Those names on that book were revealed. And so nobody knew what was on that book. It was sealed from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. And that's the day that we're living in. Now that that book has been opened, all the mysteries of God have been made known, not to the world, to his people. And I took this little message because it just kept tugging at me. And I laid awake early Sunday morning reading this, and it just done something to me. And you know, Brother Branham talks about tonight, he talks about how Satan does things. He does things where he gets you just a little, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. But the bride has been given the word to see what he's doing and when he's doing it. And let's talk about what he said tonight, because Brother Branham said there is a comforter, a one that you can get comfort from. Like the woman at the well who drank the water and never have to drink again. She never would have to drink again, Jesus told her. If you let me give you, you'd ask me for a drink and you'd never thirst again. And we'll find out that Brother Branham, when he's talking tonight, he's talking about how people are trying to get comfort from something besides the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. They're trying to get it from something else. And if you think about that word comfort, if somebody's trying to give you comfort, they're trying to make you feel better. Make you feel better about yourself, maybe feel better about your situation that you're in, or feel better about some situation somebody else is in that you're worried about, or any of those things. We try to get our comfort, though, from other places, Brother Branham said. And I want you to see how he takes such a simple message and he goes through and he decimates everything. He just destroys everything that Satan tries to do. And he points out everything that Satan tries to do to take us away from the comforter, from the comforter. There's only one place to get comfort from. Lasting comfort, lasting peace. And so let's read these last few verses here that we had in the last service as we start, and we're going to end up with a few verses from the token message. 1 Timothy 3:16, it's written this way: know about God. Without controversy, we realize that great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. We saw God in flesh. That was God's comfort. That was a Holy Ghost in flesh form, as Brother Branham said. That was God's comfort to know that he come so much. He cared for us. This, what Abraham said, he used to think that God hated him and Jesus loved him. But he said he found out that Jesus was the very bosom of the Father, that he was the very love of God. And that's what he's talking about here, that God sent his, he come as a son, and he brought this debate to show us that he's thinking about us. Brother Bram, so Brother Bram, and now don't miss that, because that's what he's talking about in this message, that he is doing something now. Right this minute, right when we're talking, he's doing something. Right when you leave from here, he's still doing something. He's never. And see, that's where we abide. That's like the child. That's where they suckle the mother. That's the El Shaddai. That's where we stay, right there. That's our only thing. And when we leave, maybe from the presence of the preaching and the Holy Spirit, or we shouldn't be, it should be in us. But we sometimes we'll go out and we'll get out here and we'll get to doing something and we'll start to step away just a little in the flesh. And we don't have to do that. Not in this day. In fact, if we give the Holy Ghost reign, he will not. It will be him completely took over. He took over in Christ. How can we in this day say that we have his spirit and limit it? It took over Christ's life. His testimony was, you show me something I've done that's not in this Bible. You show me something. I don't do the works of my own works. I do the Father's works. I do whatever he shows me to do. Now, have we got that testimony? We're supposed to have that same testimony. Not because we do it boastfully do it. Not because we're going to hear about that tonight. How we claim to have it. Just say we can claim it. You know, we can be a big shot in front of somebody or try to make somebody think we're important. But because God declares that it's there. And that's what Jesus was telling us. That's what, when he come here and God was in Jesus, that was God telling us, I'm your comfort. Look here, what I'm doing in this man. I'm bringing him, and he is comfort to you, the only lasting covenant, comfort and peace that there is. And we saw God in flesh. That was God's comfort, to know that he come so much, he cared for us until he become one of us. As Brother Michael was just singing the song, he cared so much for us that his care turned into a human being and come down here and died. Not just a human being that he watched died. Brother Bram said God died in Jesus Christ. He couldn't die as a spirit. He had to die as a man. He said he couldn't feel it in the other ones. He could feel it in Christ. He come. God come and paid. If that doesn't tell people he cared. That God that created everything come down for us, sniveling, rotten people that we are born into this world. And only somebody self-righteous will think they're not. And he come and paid for us. Brother Bram said, when we were unlovable, he loved us. All right. So until he become one of us, God manifest in the flesh, not just another person, but God himself. And now to make it another step closer, he sends the Holy Spirit to make what another step closer? His caring. To make his caring another step closer, he sends the Holy Spirit to care for our comforts, and he abides in us. Oh, he does care. Now, we must go on to another portion of the scripture here, or another thought to back this up. So what he just said, let's go back it up, he says. Before I go, I might say this. Everybody doesn't have this comforter. They don't. They don't have it. So the reason they don't have it, the reason we don't have a comforter, if you don't have him, this is why, is because they don't accept it. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Me and Katrina was reading that message, The Pardon, listening to it the other day. It's not your pardon. It might be in your hand. It might have your name on it. But it's not yours if you don't accept it. That's what Brother Branham was talking about, that man who got a pardon and didn't accept it. It's for them. It's for them, but they don't accept it. Now, I hope that you're spiritual enough to read what I'm saying. He's talking about this ministry, okay? It's for them, but they won't accept it. See, I'm speaking to a group of people that's to be prayed for in a few minutes. And we have this comfort in Holy Spirit that's sent for the Comforter, but all people won't receive it. They don't believe in it. See? And he's going to really drill down on what that means, don't believe in it, in just a minute. They, in order to do that, then they gather their comfort from, they don't believe in it. They, in order to do that, then they gather their comfort from some other resource. Since they won't accept the Comforter, they go try to find comfort somewhere else. They won't take the one that will tell them what they should be, and if they accept it, they'll become that. They go and try to get somebody else to tell them they're all right. Boy, if that ain't the day we live in. Nobody takes responsibility for nothing. Nobody should be blamed for anything. It's always somebody else's fault, never their fault. Don't spank children. Don't do, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Comfort from some other resource, some other means. If they don't accept God's provided Comforter, then they have to get some other Comforter. Because they're going to have a Comforter. You got all these people, they got somebody they'll go cry to so that they'll pet them, you know, on their head. Whether they're right or wrong, they'll pet them, you know. They got to get a comfort. And what is that doing? When they go to this person and they get this person to tell them their troubles, even if it's their fault, the person knows it's their fault and they're just patting them. What are they doing? They're telling that person they're okay. That's what the person wants, to be told they're okay. They want comfort. They want to be told they're good, they're okay, they're what they should be. They want that calmed. But that'll pass. Unless God gives you His comfort, and He becomes your Comforter. They don't accept God's provided Comforter. Then they have to get some other Comforter, see? Because you can't live without something to live for. You live for that comfort. You live to be told that you're good, and that you're doing well, and that you're... and that you see yourself this way and you see yourself that way. I hope that each of you get that, especially you people that's to be prayed for, that's so uncomfortable this morning with many troubles that doctors cannot touch. And we believe that doctors help people. And I want you to listen close to this. I believe that God heals by medicine. God heals by surgery. God heals by understanding. Listen, God heals. So where is your faith always? Not in the surgeon. It's in the faith in God that the surgeon will do what's right. It's faith in God that somebody in medicine. Because they couldn't do any of those things unless God let them do it. God heals by understanding. God heals by love. Just a little love goes a long way. Let somebody be all upset and just show them you care for them. See, God heals by love. God heals by prayer. God does all these things, see. God heals by miracles. God heals by His word. God heals. Whatever source it is, God heals by it. God, it's all, we have to make sure we don't get our eyes off of the, put it on the source and not on God. See, that's what He's trying to tell us. Don't put it on the source. You go to the doctor and you start hoping in the doctor. Your faith's not in God. You went to the doctor because you believe that God's going to let the doctor help you. And when you go to the doctor, then you start thinking, then you start getting disappointed because the doctor didn't do this and the doctor didn't do that and this didn't help, but that didn't help. Why are you disappointed in him? Our faith in God. We can't be disappointed in the doctor if our faith in God. You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Whatever source it is, God heals by it. It's God that heals. For he said, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. So there's no healing going on any other way outside of God. So all of it should work together. And man and different ministries should work together for that, see? Now, but they don't do it. Because sometimes they're forbidden to take certain stands upon God's word. Because there are certain denominations won't permit them to do it. Isn't that something? Like he hammers it right after that, though. But that doesn't stop the truth. Just because they won't preach the truth, it don't stop the truth. Just the same, God goes on healing just the same. So they try to draw comfort from some other source, resource. Let's speak first to the soul. We find out that many people try to find comfort by drinking. And I don't know if anybody here has ever been drunk. I haven't been drunk. But I'm sure that from what I've understood and read from it, that when they go drink it, they don't worry anymore. They feel fine about themselves. They feel fine about their situation. They forget all their problems. See, that's where they're finding their comfort. It's ease and whatever's pressing down on them, telling them this is wrong or that's wrong or this is going wrong and this is going wrong. And there's all this that you got to do and you got to keep up with and all these other things. That's where they find their comfort. And tomorrow morning, it's all back again and other stuff to go with it. Why we find out that many people try to find comfort by drinking. You know, we have a saying, which is pretty well known among us today, that many ministers drink sometime before going to the pulpit. And there was some prominent evangelists back then that were drinkers and drink and went to the pulpit. Going to the pulpit, taking a good heavy drink of intoxication. It's been known to seeing ministers on the platform that even stagger under the influence of liquor. Now, why would a minister go there when his comfort should be Christ? But now he's not going to leave off liquor. That sounds really horrible, don't it? Mm-hmm. But now look what he does. Because what Brother Bram say, there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. And that ought not to be. It should not be. It is because many times we might condemn that man when maybe we ought not do that. We ought to find back what's the trouble. Many of them was converted from alcohol. And we find out if they're in that condition, it's a disgrace and a reproach. But no more a reproach than it would be to lie, steal, lust after women, or any other thing that's in the commandment. See, and maybe a man's born high-passioned, and he sees these modern stripteases on the street, and he's constantly in trouble. See, and what about today, when the thing that drives this world and drives the internet, drives the money backbone behind the internet, is pornography. It has taken over, and it's like hundreds of billions of dollars made through pornography. And he's talking about a man walking down the street seeing it when everybody's carrying it in their phones. It's on their computer. It's everywhere. You talk about TVs. People talk about TVs. You're carrying a far worse TV in your pocket everywhere you go. There's far worse stuff on there than you could ever see on television. He constantly is in trouble because of this. Because he's got the wrong comfort. See, he runs to that woman for comfort. He runs to that bottle for comfort. He runs to what was the other things. He tells lies so it makes himself look a little better to shield something. Or what is the other thing? He steals and all these different things. And he sees, okay, we got that. See that the man is born like that. Now, what he ought to do, the minister that drinks or the woman that smokes or that dresses immorally, trying to draw her comfort from being so well put together. She's dressing immorally, and she's trying to get comfort. She's trying to get people to look at her so she feels good about herself. Because every one of those men looking at her, she feels like that's a stamp of approval. Satan has sold her that. Look what Brother Branham says. That she wants to cause man to look at her. There's no other reason. She's partially insane. See, no sensible woman would know to strip herself before man that she has her right mind. See, there's no reason for it at all. But she's trying to, these young girls today that got out on the street, they're real, well, you excuse the expression, and remember this tape don't only go just to the people here. It goes around the world, see? And it's only Satan, you see. I skipped a paragraph there, but you can go back and read it. He just filled in something and put something here. You realize the other sex, this is what's happening with this female that's dressing wrong. You realize the other sex, the male sex, looking upon you, upon such, gave such an influence to them till they'll squawk their tires and wolf whistle. And what do they do that for? The woman does it in order to get the man to do that. That's her comfort. He does it for a comfort. What? Look at that. It's, you think about the, when you start looking at what he's pointing out here, look at people's daily lives. Why do they go to the work? Why do they buy this big fancy red racing car out here to do whatever they're going to do with it? What is it for? Mm-hmm. What is our motivations? Mm-hmm. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to lift ourselves up and give ourselves comfort? That's what he's saying here. He's pointing out just a few things, but look at everybody's motivation in this world today. And when I saw that T-shirt that day, that girl had on and said, "It's all about me," I thought, wow, she has no idea how that's death wrote across her. She has no idea. And she has no idea. She's joking, she thinks. And she wasn't the only one. They don't have to wear a shirt for it to be that way. It's that way with people. The woman does it in order to get the man to do that. Why do you get out right in the heat of the day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to mow the grass when people are coming from their work and things like that? To get people to look at them. It shows it's a spirit of insanity because they're trying to get comfort from that. Going and stripping their clothes off to get somebody to look at them. They're not going to get comfort from that. If they do, it'll last briefly and it'll last for a few years and then that'll be the end of it. I had a girl I know that was very precious to me, is precious to me. And I told her the other day, I said, "You need to quit worshiping that spirit." Mm-hmm. It's a spirit that makes you want to have a man lifting you up about your looks. And I said, your looks are going to end. All of our looks are going to end. Our body's going to end. All of that's going to end. Why would we spend and care about something like that that's going to go away? Unless we're blind. But that's why Brother Bram says he's saying these things. He's trying to wake people up. And now many of them might have an IQ a million miles higher than mine. These ones that he's saying are insane. But I test your IQ with God's word and see where it comes out. See, that's modern IQ. But that very evidence and fruits of the life proves. So they try to find comfort with that. Many of them say, "Well, I don't do that." But you so dress themselves in such an appeal, see, it isn't just the ones who strip their clothes off. Listen, he's going after it all. He's talking about how sneaky Satan is. The spirit's still there, and you're just making it a little cleaner, as you think. When there's no cleaning that spirit, it's just wrong. But you so dress themselves in such an appeal till they try to be more modern than the woman that's going to sit by them in the church. Look at this. This isn't necessarily wanting the man to look at them. This is wanting to look better than the woman sitting beside of them. Men do the same thing with work or strength or stuff they got or skills they have or anything else. It's the same thing. And women do it with looks and cooking and other things. It's doing it for that reason. It's doing it for this selfish reason. To give themselves comfort that they're good. They're so good, they're better than these even. See how shallow it is. And Satan has got people into that. And he gets people little by little like that. Woman that's going to sit by them in church the next morning, wear a better hat or a little better clothes because you can afford to do it. You wear it for that reason. See, sin reaches way down. And they try to find comfort by doing so. It's become such a thing until it's absolutely struck the nation in a whole. This whole thing of trying to find comfort and lift yourself up. And remember, this is the exact spirit that Satan had in the beginning. What did he say? I'll make a kingdom greater than Michael's. I'm going to make myself look better than these other angels. It's become such a thing until it's absolutely struck the nation in whole. Not only the nation, but the world in whole. Many things, and think about it, this is 60 years ago. Now the women put on stuff to attract other women, and vice versa, and everything else. Many things I would say here, but to save time, the healing service coming up, I could speak at large on this, but I won't. I'm sure you'll understand what I mean. It struck the political world, the spirit of trying to find comfort is somewhere besides God. It struck the political world, the political life, the social life, the moral life of the nation. That's permeating everything. Of the peoples around the world. It's got to a place till man wants to be a politician just to have the name of being a politician. Not because he's trying to help people. He wants to be power man and say what goes and snap his fingers and make this one hop. Got plenty of money, can pull votes and hire machines to do it and so forth just for the name. And worth millions and millions of dollars, see, just for the name of being great politician. Enough is said at that. You know what I'm talking about. And this is in 63, before Kennedy was killed. And social life, the people try to get together in this insane social life. Don't tell me the world's not insane and doing the way it's doing. It sure is. Certainly, it's a neurotic world, and by the grace of God is the only way we'll escape it. It's by His grace that we won't get caught up in that, trying to make ourselves something. The only thing that's going to give you any comfort is when God makes you something. Notice, in this social life, the people has come to the place that they socialize little clans and they get into there and they think we're better than the next group, see? And it's just done that way. That's how they're getting comfort. Boy, you think about the churches. And it's done that way. And it's the morals. It's hit the morals of people until, honest friends, I don't even believe the word moral is recognized among 90% of the people of this nation 60 years ago, 61 now. They don't even know what the word moral means. The world don't. It's escaped from them, and it's done so trickery. It's been done by Satan slowly. He talks about him. Brother Bram said he took the skirts and he started going up. And he took the social thing. What the social thing turned into this, then it turned into this, then it turned into that. It's done it so trickery. Satan is very subtle, see? He does it so easy. And what is he doing? He's taking the comforter away from the people. He does it so easy, so subtle. Just a little teeny bit here and a little there. And let it, he's got plenty of time. So he just runs a little bit in here and a little bit in here. And the first thing you know, the people are just gradually moved into it. What would have happened of a woman back when I was a boy of 16 years old, if she'd have walked down the street like she does today in this striptease form? Why, they'd have had her in jail. Well, if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. See, these same people that think it's okay 40 years later did not think it was okay 40 years before that. The same people, Satan twisting them. But you see, Satan just began to cut off the skirts and to lower them down. And then it'll come to pass that there's somebody will design one a little beyond the bikini or what you call the thing to a fig leaf. You remember? That's right. And look at the fig leaves. They went beyond the fig leaves. That's right. Let's go right straight back. And it's right back, straight back where? To the garden. And it's there practically now. And now we find all those things is because people are trying to find comfort. They're trying to find somebody to tell them they're good, to help them be what they should be. They're trying to find something. And remember, your comfort is your religion. It's your covering. That's what religion is. And you make those things your religion. You make those things out there that you do. Those women dressing like they do. And the men acting like they act. And the politicians and whatever else. Make those things your religion, see? What a pity in realizing that death lays right before you. See? Until all this has happened, until it seems like there's not a solid foundation left in the nation to build anything on 60 years ago. Just let me ask you something. You can't believe nothing hardly but the Bible. We still have Christ, thanks to God. You can't believe anything out here in the world. You can't believe it. He's going to give you examples. For instance, when you turn on your television, you that have such, and when you turn on your television and see the commercials, you don't like the commercials either. Commercials, well, if a person tried to live by 100th of those commercials, you'd die in a week. See, you couldn't do it. The very thing that some company will break down like a product and say, this is the thing here and don't have this other over here. And the same company sells the same product. And then another commercial will come on, take this on this side and not that, and the same company. Same company selling both. Whichever commercial you like the best is the death you buy first. Remember Brother Ram said he saw that sign on the road about dipping the dishes in that stuff, and he went home to wash the dishes for his wife, and he said he just dipped and dipped and dipped, and nothing, it was still on there. Yeah. Just lies. The American people fall for such stuff as that, and what do they fall for now? That, till the whole thing is become rotten, until there's no hopes at all. There's no hopes at all there. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what to believe. But I'm going to tell you after a while what to believe. If you want comfort, if the Lord willing. The people, they lie, cheat, steal, till you almost have to have a bond of security to borrow $5 from somebody because there's so much lying, stealing, and cheating. You know, the Bible speaks that there'd be no love in the last days, but amongst the elect people. That's the only place the love will be. The only place. That's right. The scripture speaks of that. And the husband will be against the wife, and the wife against the husband, and children against the parents. Just among the elected of the Lord will there be any love left. Real love. The churches has got into the same thing out of social life. So the churches now have took this same idea of trying to find comfort in making themselves better. Better than the other church. This one's got this sign and this one's got that sign. The churches has got into the same thing out of social life. They brought it into the church. Their social life and their politics and their other things, until they got the church so confused that it doesn't know what to do. We're talking about denying the power thereof. They brought politics into church. Does politics have any place in church? None, especially not our politics. And this was 60 years ago, politics. And if you ever want to know what the 60 years ago politics was like, they put the tapes out of Kennedy, J.F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy, which was his Secretary of State, I think. And they record all the phone calls at the White House. Well, they took those phone calls and they archive them for like 40 years, I think it is, maybe longer. I think it's 40. Well, whenever the 40 years went by, which was 2003 or 4. After a little bit of wrangling back and forth, they released those tapes. And you can go listen to them talking about this country taking this one out, putting this other one in. And they're not talking about going over and tapping them on the shoulder and say, you need to leave. No. This was our country 60 years ago. Now, what do you think it is now? And we talk, when we want to bring politics into church, there's no place in it. No place for it. Period. I don't care who you are. They brought politics into church. They brought also social life. Their social life in church, no place for it. The social activities, bingo and bunco, or ever what they call it, and these suppers and dances and so forth in the house of the Lord. Why? It's a pity. They say, well, now that's on the annex. In other words, it's not in the actual church. It's in the, I guess, in the their place where they eat or something. I guess that's what the annex is. Remember, it was the annex also that Jesus beat the merchants with their merchandise. He called it the house of the Lord. The merchants out with their merchandise and said, it's written, my Father's house is made a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. See, it's wrong. I don't care where it's at. As long the church is not so much the building, it's the people in the building. And if those people are anticipating in this, why it's wrong. And they've brought that practice. They brought all these social things that people are out here doing socially. One playing this to get better than that one to compete. Somebody told me that Brother Branham said competition was of the devil, and I've not been able to find that, but I believe it. I mean, he said enough about things in here. You know, he talked about carnal comparisons and things like that. That's enough for me. Now, we find out that the churches, too, are always promising something, like television and so forth, and they never get the thing they promised, get to the thing they promised. And as I have often said, an old quotation, man is always praising God for what he did, praising God for what he will do, looking forward to what he will do, and then ignore what he's doing. See, they fail. They fail because that. They fail because they fail to recognize him right now, because they fail to take him as the comforter. And that's the way they become. Listen to what they become because they do this. Because, excuse me. By ignoring what he's doing, here's what they become. That's the way they become history after a while of the polluted. They become the history of the polluted because they do this. When you look back and you read the history about the polluted, that's who you're reading about. That's what he's saying. Of the polluted, see, because they fail to recognize now. Right now. If that don't go right with what Brother Branham said, that God reveals his word, he interprets his word by bringing it to pass, I don't know what is. Because when God's bringing his word to pass, and he's always bringing his word to pass, that's recognizing now. You can talk of the, and that's, they went this other way instead of recognizing this way, which was the prophet's message. And that's what they fail to recognize now. You can talk of the comfort Christ gave once, and say that a comfort he will give in the ages to come, but refuse the comfort that he's got right here now for you. I'm going to tell you what to believe, he said, if you'll take it, he said. It's on the same basis we find that. Well, it's because a great thing. It's become a great thing. Now find out it's even become in the Pentecost, in the churches. It's become into the Pentecostal realms that they're always promising something that they never get to it. It's always that every fellow has a different sensation and making it, whether it's scriptural or not. See, they're trying to get attention, trying to prove to themselves that God has given them this and God has given them that, and that I'm this and I'm that. Even in the churches, Satan has come into the churches and doing it. And it's in the message, I don't think it's in the message, but it's around the message. It's people who's got to sign up, it says message, and make it whether it's scriptural or not. And they're promising something that they never get to it until it seems like it's got to a place where there doesn't seem to be any sincerity. And he's going to talk about what he means with sincerity. The people don't get down to that real kernel of sincerity. Not sincerely wrong, but the real kernel of sincerity is anchored in Christ. It's lost, the very English word of sincerity has lost its value to the people by the people's way of living. They don't even know what it means because of the way they're living. Remember what he just pointed out? He spent all this time pointing out. Now, they don't seem to understand. Even to our confessions. Now, I want you people that are coming or hear and hold on the tape, I want you to listen close now for a moment to this quotation. Unless you're deeply sincere, and you cannot be sincere until you're positive, understand. And what's understanding? Brother Branham said understanding was a revelation. You can't be sincere until you've got that revelation. If you're presuming or guessing or hoping so, you're still finding comfort in your own self. You're still trying to find it in your own self. Then there cannot be a depth of sincerity that God requires. If you're guessing, hoping so, and presuming, there can't be that. The faith is not a hope so. It could be right. It's got to be absolutely amen. It's your ultimate. It's your absolute. It's the thing that you're tied to. Now, that's only something that God can do. You can't produce that. You can yield to God. You can go with the faith that God's give you to get there and let him do it. He's going to talk about that. I'm not sure if I'm going to get that far tonight, but it's the thing that you're tied to. See, that's all you like the El Shaddai, the baby, the breast was all he knew. It's all he knew. That's what he's talking about right here. Until the word becomes all you know, it's not going to work. That's not the sincerity he's talking about. You have to come to your ultimate. That is the truth. It's nothing but the truth. And it must be thus. And then when you realize that in your mind, that it's nothing but the truth, then you've got to approach it with your whole life, soul, body, all that's in you, just completely sell out everything to it. And Jesus so graciously taught us in the man buying pearls, and he found the one of great price, and he sold all his others to get it. All the truths and everything that he had, thought they were good pearls. All these other pearls he'd bought over the years, he thought they was good ones. This one meant everything to him. And he went and sold them all to have this one. The El Shaddai becomes the breasted one to you, just like that baby, everything is that mama. And when you find God's ultimate, his word, a promise upon a certain thing. Now he's talking about every promise now. You must know first that it's God's word. You must absolutely know that's his word. That the thing that you're seeing being done is God. There's no maybe so, it could be, it looks like it might be. It is God. And when you get to that spot, when that's the pearl of great price, when that's the way you see it, when you see it that way, you must get away from anything that anybody else tells you contrary to that. You must not look to what man has achieved. You must look to what God has said and what he promised and see him to do it. And then that's your ultimate right there. And you leave it. You planted that seed and you walked away. You give it to God. And then everything that you are, everything that you was, everything that you hoped to be must be placed upon this, just though it was death and life to you at that moment. You've traded in your will for his. Amen. That message just keeps getting better and better. And I don't want to just bring it all at once. But this went really good with it. So I brought this in. Maybe we might get there Sunday, but I think it may be Wednesday. We'll see how it goes. If the token or the blood in the time of Egypt's coming out, their exodus, if the token was so the supreme sign, the token was not no good unless the token was displayed. Remember what he's talking about a while ago here. You ain't going to keep from displaying it. Once you found the pearl of great price, people watch you going selling off the other ones. They see you getting rid of the rest of it. They see you put all your confidence in it. People watch you when you say you're a Christian. The ones that hadn't become so jaded by so many hypocrites that they have quit. The token was not no good unless the token was displayed. And what was the displaying? They had to take the blood and put it around the door. Unless you was putting it out there for everybody to see that you had your confidence in this, it wasn't no good to you. The token was not so good unless was not no good unless the token was displayed. The token had to be displayed, not a sympathizer with the token. Now he's going to really bear down on that. But the token must be applied. Now, this is going right with what he said over there a while ago. Exactly. And no matter how much anyone could prove that he was a Jew and a covenant Jew by circumcision, he could prove he took the covenant. It didn't matter. He still had to have that token around his door or it was off. It didn't do anything about it at all. It took the token, not the covenant, not that circumcision covenant. He never said, when I see the covenant sign, but when I see the token. So today, you might be a professed Christian. You might be a covenant with covenant with Christ. But unless the token is displayed in this late hour, he's pointing that out, that we're coming to now, there is no way for him to pass over. Can't be sympathizers. You know what a sympathizer is? Yep, that looks like the truth to me. Yep. But make no commitment to it. That's a sympathizer, Brother Branham said. Must be displayed. It must be on. You must be wearing it. Now remember, a Jew could come up and said, I'll take you men aside. I believe that to be the truth. I believe Moses, the prophet. I believe the pillar, he was going to take him aside to show that he was circumcised. I believe the pillar of fire that's guiding him. I believe that's Jehovah. He showed him his covenant. He tells him that he believes in Moses and he believes all these things. But he didn't have the token on his door. It don't mean nothing. Witness all of that. Believe all the word, all the message, but yet say, now, I'm just as well off as you because I'm a circumcised Jew. If he didn't have the blood in the night of the Passover, he died just the same. And today, every church, every individual that isn't and cannot display that token. And what entitles you to the token? Full obedience of the Holy Ghost is spiritually dying and will die. No matter how much you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, no matter how much you repeat the Apostles' Creed, repeat it, or whatever you might do, no matter how well you are educated, what a theological experience you've had, you might have doctor's degrees, bachelor of art, and whatever more, a DDLD, doctor of Latin, or whatever you might be, or literature, but that won't do it. There must be the token displayed. The token means what? The death has took place, and the life has been given. And it has been applied. And you are displaying that. You can't. It has to be in you displaying itself. God vindicates his own word. God interprets his own word. It was only a shadow. That back there was only a shadow of the real for this day. The antitype. The token must be displayed. And a Jew could furnish the evidence that he was in the covenant, but the token wasn't there. The covenant was without any effect. It didn't matter how much of the word he said he believed. He actually went far enough to be circumcised. He'd done all these things. He'd done his sacrifices. He'd done all these things. I believe this part of the message. I believe this message. I believe that message. I believe this. Amen, amen, amen. But the covenant was without effect if the token was not displayed. And so it is today, my brother and my sister. I want you to remember this. You inside, outside, in the basement, wherever you may be, that the hour has come. And everyone can see the dullness of the church today. Everybody can see the deadness of many. Too many of the members. It's because that you have played around. You've took sensations. You've took other things, other comforters, other things to tell them they're right. And you have trusted upon the wisdom of some man, upon the theology of some organization, upon the membership of your mother's church, and upon some loyal pastor. But that all are good things. Have nothing against them, no more than circumcision was to the Jew. But that wasn't God's program. When I see the blood, and it only, that was God's program. What was God doing right then? That's, he is bringing it just as perfect as all get out. And today the Holy Ghost is God's covenant when God's with God's covenant people. The Holy Ghost, the life of the resurrected Christ, has got to be displayed in the church amongst the people, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. It makes who? It makes him the same, because the Holy Ghost is displayed in the people. It makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I tell you, as Brother Branham talked about that bear that got in his molasses down there and got in it all over him, that's the way the message is. Every time you get in it, it just, you can't read it without this quote just sticking there on your heart, and you're going down, and another one will stay there, and another one. And it, as Brother Holmes used to tell me, he said, I just believe I'll stay there all the time. And if he could, he would have. So I really appreciate him, and I appreciate us getting to come back together. And I'm sorry everybody's been so sick, and I know it seems like most everybody's recovered tonight. So we're thankful for the Lord doing that. Thankful kept y'all hauling all that stuff up and down the road. I guess that was a pretty good load coming back. So, but they say, they always say that the wagon coming back is so heavy, it rides a little smoother. So maybe a little slower, but a little smoother too. But I tell you, we have such an opportunity, brothers, that people don't have. And you could try to give it to them, and you might find one here and there. They'll listen even. Some will cut you off quick, won't listen at all. Some know you and will cut you off quick and not listen at all. Believe me, I've tried. And it's such a privilege. And you want to give it to whoever you can give it to. You know, a peace, a lasting peace, a comfort that doesn't leave. He's there constantly telling you, not just telling you what you need, providing you with what you need. And though you can't be thankful enough, let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Actually, let's sing a song real quick that somebody laid up here. Beulah Land. I don't know if y'all got it. Somebody printed it out for me up here. It says, I'm kind of homesick for a country. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing. waiting for you. And someday on the I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm looking now just across the river to where my faith shall end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on the I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Amen. Unless y'all got one y'all want to sing, we'll just pray and be dismissed. All right. Father, we thank you for your grace, for coming and abiding, not just with us tonight, but Lord, abiding in us. And Lord, you said if your word abide in us, then we would ask what we will, Lord, and it shall be given. Father, I every day ask for more revelation, and you always provide, Lord. I thank you so much. Count that above all other things I could ask for, Lord. And may you keep pouring it out to us and help us, Lord, to be a part of that revelation. And Lord, may you go with us and keep us this week. Dry up all this sickness among us. Be with Sister Pauletta, Lord. Be with Grandma. She's fallen there. Be with each one, Lord, that may we're not remembering. We ask it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.